meeting is now being recorded.
I'm not sure if all of you had a time to read my email from yesterday, but I was just reminding everyone that today we're going to do a status report, so all of the group leads can tell me where we are in each of the subtopics, and then we'll plan out what we're going to do in the next couple of weeks, and that will include coming up with specific discussion paper topics now that we have the template from Jonathan to move forward with. And so going around for each person who needs to give a status update, I guess I'll go ahead and start with myself. I've been working with Fabro and Howe and Calvin to get our chart completed on the DNS abuse readings. And we have some data calls out, and Brian has gotten back to me on some of that. And so where we are now is we have pretty much almost everything complete with ours, if you look at the chart, except for the bottom section. We're still trying to fill in some data about the expedited registry security request process and also the draft framework for the high security zone verification. So if anyone has any input on that, that would be much appreciated. And then for the other chart, looking at the impact of the safeguards, that was the one I just went over. For the other thing, looking at all of our readings, I think that we are in good shape there with having everything related to DNS abuse that's relevant highlighted. But if anyone, I see Jonathan, your name's under a couple. So if you, I don't know if you have an opinion on the typo squatting article or the measuring the global DNS articles. I haven't had a chance to look at those yet. But if you think those should be part of whatever eventual discussion papers we write, then definitely chime in and let me know. And so that is, that's my update for our stuff. So who would like to go next for their update? Let's see, who do we have on the line? All right, Jamie, even though you're not the head, do you want to talk about the rights protection mechanisms? Are you there, Jamie?
Sorry, I was having. Yeah, I'm here. I was.
Oh, no problem.
I don't have much of an update to provide. I think David has sent some emails on some things that he's doing, but in terms of the chart, we're behind.
Okay. From what you've gathered from David, does it sound like he's working on it?
I think he is. As he said in his, I think on the last call that, he is allotted a certain amount of his, budgeted a certain amount of time to work on this. And, he is working on that within those constraints.
Okay. Got it. At this point, we need to take it to the next level and start shaping that into discussion papers. So maybe you, David, and I can set up a brief call and figure out kind of the best way forward. You know how much time he has budgeted, out of curiosity?
I don't. I just heard what everyone else heard the last time he shared that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yep. I remember hearing that as well.
But we will get it done, and we will. And it will be in good shape. We're just behind.
All right. Well, thanks for the update. And then we don't have Fabro or Carlton online. No. All right. Well, then hopefully I'll send out an email today to get some email updates on where we are with the other topics. So that way we can move forward. And so, along those same lines, and, Jamie, at least for rights protection mechanisms, hopefully we can figure out some topics. I've been trying to figure out, you know, a list of individual discussion papers that will fit into these four big parent categories, of DNS abuse, the impact of safeguards and PICs, consumer end user behavior, and the effectiveness of procedures to enforce safeguards. Within those big headings, there's, of course, three subheadings from before that we have, from the Washington, D.C. meeting under impact of safeguards and PICs, where you have the technical category, which also includes DNS abuse, kind of this catch-all, specification 11, and then rights protection mechanisms. But for discussion paper purposes, we can, of course, break that down even more. And so something I was thinking about was, if we could get this done in the next day or so, that would be ideal, where we could have a working list that could always expand, but at least a working list of papers we know we need to write, and that way we can actually just start writing them, fitting them into Jonathan's template. And so for DNS abuse, some research questions that I thought would make distinct papers based on the research we've done and the outstanding research we'll eventually get data for, I thought of three questions, and so I'd love to hear your feedback. The first one was, is there more or less DNS abuse in the new GTLDs? And that's just based on the question we've had for months, going back to some of our initial discussions. Did the safeguards help prevent DNS abuse? And have the safeguards been fully implemented? And so based on all the research we've done, I think there's enough data to fit those into three separate categories. Can you think of anything else that might fall into that DNS abuse category? Brian's typing something. Okay. Brian's cool with that. Hal, are you on the line?
Hello, I'm on the line. I'm not sure if you can hear me because I'm actually driving
you loud and clear.
Right now. So. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Do you have any thoughts about discussion paper topics under DNS abuse, since that's been one of the categories you've been working on?
Sorry?
Do you have any thoughts about what I just said about potential questions for discussion papers under the DNS abuse heading?
I actually missed all of that you said.
Oh, okay. Well, real quick recap.
The audio is really bad. The sound and the audio are really bad. So I can if I have anything, I'll just tap on the chat. Is that okay?
Yes. Yep. That's fine. I'll also paste the questions on the
All right.
on the chat, and then we'll move on to the next category.
All right. Thanks. Thanks.
It's a disaster. No one's done their work.
Okay, and so the next category for impact of safeguards and PICs. So for the first category, with this catch-all technical category, there's definitely a lot of questions we'll need to break out of there. But one big one would be, did the use of PICs help prevent DNS abuse? And I'm saying that just because of since that category includes some of the things we're looking at with DNS abuse and moves beyond some of the other topics that would fall under what we put under that DNS abuse chart. Does anybody have any feedback on that? And then specification 11, I'm thinking that could be, I need to come up with a research question about it, but that could be its own paper just on specification 11. And then for rights protection mechanisms, I imagine we could have several. So, Jamie, I'd love to hear your feedback chiming in. So I was thinking, you know, one basic one just based on our past meetings would be have the new dispute resolution processes reduced trademark infringement. And I don't, you know, I'd love for you to weigh in on whether that's something that you think we can measure with data that we've looked at and will be looking at, or something that we could not measure and therefore should be reframed. Are you still there, Jamie?
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So the question is whether there's data to measure trademark abuse?
Yeah, well, to measure whether or not the whether or not the new dispute resolution processes actually reduce trademark infringement. So if we're assuming that, and there could be other things we'd measure with them, but if we're
right.
looking at the fact that the new GTLDs have this unique feature to them, I was trying to think of research questions. And based on what I'm guessing your safeguard chart will show with the intention of the safeguards, what do you think of that research question? Have the new dispute resolution processes reduced trademark infringement?
I think it's an excellent and legitimate question. The issue is going to be, as we discussed before, whether there's enough data to make anything conclusive. So because it's, you know, there's still GTLDs that are launching, there have not, as far as I know, there have not been that many, instances in which the dispute resolution mechanisms have been, particularly the PDDRP have been invoked. So we'll look at it, but I don't know that there's going to be if we're going to have enough data to say anything conclusive.
Do you think that's still worth, that exact question is worth exploring for discussion paper, even if you come to that conclusion and you highlight, you know?
I can't speak for David, obviously. But I do, if for no other reason than to set it up for the next review.
Okay. And then what else so far from what you've looked at with rights protection mechanisms would you say we would want a specific discussion paper on?
So, you know, ideally there would be enough data that you can make a comparison between the rights protection, the RPMs for new GTLDs and what's available for Gs, which is effectively just the UDRP. But I don't know that, I don't know if there's going to be enough data to make to say anything conclusive, but I do think we would be worth, I mean, if not for this review, for the next one, you know, honing in on the added value, if any, of the URS and PDDRP.
Okay, I think we should set that up then as a discussion paper, because it sounds like it'd be worth at least synthesizing what's out there. And because you are describing unknowns, then it's going to be worth exploring that topic, whether or not that discussion paper in the end stands as its own chapter or becomes merged with, you know, just a broader rights protection mechanisms section of the report. So I guess then so far we'll have the two. So it's this kind of impact one we're looking at, have the new dispute resolution processes reduce trademark infringement. And so in terms of measuring that, that's where you can incorporate any data you have about complaints. And it might be, has it reduced trademark infringement complaints, or has it reduced, you know, something else related to trademark infringement in terms of just, you know, alternative dispute resolution mechanisms being used. But you could lump all that there and then have this other one of, how, I don't know if you want to frame it, how are the rights protection mechanisms for new GTLDs different from those for GTLDs? Would that,
mm-hmm.
you think, be a good use of existing in new data? Okay.
Absolutely, and we can at the minimum note, you know, raw data on the amount of time that that the URS was invoked, seeing whether that was followed up by subsequent UDRP filings, or whether it was effective, and what happened, and same with the PDDRP, although I doubt that I don't know of any that have been filed yet. I know a couple have been threatened, but I don't know if any of them actually filed. But
okay.
Again, for setting up for the next review, and this is, I mean, we've talked about this in other contexts as well, which is just that this is in competition. You also there are disadvantages to having the review so close to general availability.
Right. But yeah, and that's fine to in the paper to discuss what's, you know, in general availability, what's not, and put those considerations in, but at least then we move forward with something. Okay, and then if there's anything else you can think of, let me know. Otherwise, for consumer end user behavior, I was thinking about questions going back to when we were first brainstorming ideas months ago. We'll probably want one paper just on, and this is something that the Nielsen data will help inform, but are consumers aware of the new GTLDs? And then a separate paper, do consumers trust the new GTLDs? And then eventually, perhaps as chapters, depending on how each of those pan out, maybe that would become one big chapter in the report. But as far as distinct discussion papers, I think that would be good with existing literature and with the Nielsen data. What's everybody's thoughts on that? And ICANN staff can chime in too. Oh, wait, and there's something.
Hi, Drew, it's Brian.
Yes.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, just as sort of an overall comment, I think it's probably time to start getting a lot of this on paper. We've been kind of talking about this, pinging each other, but I think doing some literature reviews, doing some kind of straw man paper, something we can sort of critique and see where the kind of white space is and what the research is saying will be good. So that should be a next step. So my two cents. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Exactly. That's my as well is that's what this next month will be, is just all us writing these distinct, discrete discussion papers, even if they do have holes in them, because then we'll be able to plug that in with data. Or learn that, you know, maybe we need to go a different route with writing about things as we're analyzing more of the data and seeing where that leads us. And I just saw the Jamie, did you see the rights protection mechanisms link? I'm sure you've looked at this. But that was just pasted in the chat. I'm trying to think if there's any other papers that then would come out of it looking at this data. Aliza just pasted it.
Drew, if I can jump in quickly.
Oh, yes, please do.
I just was pointing out that link because those are the metrics that were recommended by the Implementation Advisory Group for the review. So that's one way of looking at some of the RPM data that we have access to and that we've compiled from, you know, various providers into single really big sheets. So, That's one set of data you may want to consider looking at.
Thank you.
Drew, it's Jonathan. Can I come in for a second?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I as a general rule, and I think this is my my fault, the work group and the implementation advisory group sort of came up with these metrics, and I mean, the original board resolution on the metrics was that the GNSO and ALAC should recommend some metrics and also some targets, downstream targets for them as well. And I think what we did just a brainstorm exercise in LA and didn't do a, I don't know what the right word is, a metric-centric analysis of these problems. And so we should make sure that we're go back through the relevant metrics that were collected as a result by staff, as a result of the work group and IAG efforts, and see which ones are applicable to each of the questions that we identified as important, and make sure that we make use of them, because one of the things that's good about them is that they are structured. That original report is really structured to be a part of a continuous improvement exercise, in that the degree to which we can say this is our finding and this is the data we use the finding, and this is the data you should look at next time to see if there's been a change here, right? I mean, so even if we're saying there hasn't been a change yet, we're identifying for the future, you know, where to look for a change on the particular questions that we're asking. So I guess I would ask that we make a concerted effort to go to the metrics in each of the sub-teams and see what's there and what can be applied to the questions that we're asking.
Yes. Yeah, thanks for making that point, Jonathan. Absolutely. All those metrics should be incorporated into all of these discussion papers and obviously into the final report. And I like your suggestion of, even before we're writing the discussion papers, going back and looking at them now to see if they actually inform any other topics for discussion papers rather than just fitting into these existing areas we're coming up with. So, and thank you again, Aliza, for sharing part of those metrics. And I've been looking at some this week as I've been trying to piece together what we should do as far as individual discussion papers. But I'll definitely go back and look at all those metrics again today, and encourage anyone else on the call, Carlton, Jamie, looks like we lost Hal, but that'd be great if you guys could as well, so that we make sure we are covering everything. And yeah, does anybody else have anything else as far as other discussion paper topics? So if not, then what I'm going to do is later today circulate the list I've come up with, and that'll serve as the basis for first assignments, and I'll just assign them out, and then set deadlines. That way we're keeping ourselves to task and getting the work accomplished. But I definitely appreciate any feedback on other topics we should write on, or other research questions that will fit into the template we now have to work from. So does anybody else have any more thoughts about that? If not, I'll move on to the next topic. So you're typing something, Aliza? So I'll wait a second.
Through the report I just put in there
yes, that's what I was reading earlier
advice.
This week.
Yeah, exactly. The original
yep.
advice from the GNSO and ALAC that Jonathan was just referencing, but with the revisions from the implementation advisory group included in there, so you can kind of see how they changed over time.
Thank you. And, yeah, that's something I think I'll put in the email after today, because this is something obviously all of us read months ago, but I think everyone should go back and reread this now that we have a lot more knowledge about the areas we're looking at and a lot more data to look at. Thank you.
Sure.
Definitely. Look at that. Okay, well, nobody else has any more feedback on that topic, then expect an email from me later on today with this draft list of research paper topics And basically we need to begin writing this week. So we need to either expand this list or modify this list in the next day or so and then start writing. And then we can always add more research, discussion, paper topics, but we need to at least get started with what we have. So that way we're going into the August meeting with a lot of stuff already written, and we'll have a lot to discuss then. And then we'll also have a framework to plug in data as more data becomes available. So moving on to the next topic about voluntary picks. Yesterday, Jonathan, Aliza, Alice, and I had a call with Ron Andruff, who is an observer and listening in right now, about what we're doing to look at picks. And so I know that we've discussed picks a bit on our calls, and Lisa is going to give an update on where we're at with that. But just for a reminder, a couple weeks ago, Laureen tasked the ICANN staff with coming up with a list of voluntary picks so that we could, and categorizing them so that we could look at them and understand what the universe of picks was, what promises they made. And from there, we could start looking at them more closely by interviewing registries that came up with these voluntary picks and find out what goal they set out to achieve with the picks. And then also, in matching that interview, an interested party from the relevant industry. So if it was .bank, we would look at the .bank registry, and then we would look at the banking association to see what their view was of what the picks accomplished, whether they accomplished their purported goal and whatnot. And so yesterday we all received a spreadsheet. So special thanks to Antonietta for sending that out. So I'm not sure if everyone had a chance to look at that yet, but it does a terrific job categorizing the picks for the top 30 new GTLDs. And so I'm not sure if you wanted to chime in, or Aliza, if you wanted to chime in and kind of explain this data.
This is Antoinette. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. So, yeah, as you mentioned, the Excel file that I sent out yesterday, it is categorized. There's one tab on the picks that are from the top 30 GTLDs that have the highest registration number. And then the other one that we looked at was the GAC category strings, the highly regulated sectors. And so for those two areas, the picks were, there's sort of two parts to the picks, well, actually three. First one's required, and it's pretty much the same for all of them. For section two of the picks, they basically indicate which part of their application that they want to incorporate as a binding commitment. And then for section three, which is also optional, they would indicate if there's anything additional that they want to commit to. And so for what I've tried to do is organize them according to the applicants. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to look at it, but most of them are donut TLDs, so those are grouped sort of the same box. And then there's sort of a two major areas, section two of the picks and section three, as I've described. And within those, it's broken down into two categories, in registrant eligibility, main selection, RPMs, acceptable use policy. And they all kind of differ in certain sort of the commitments that they make. I think that's pretty much what about organizing this. I don't know if there were any questions on the data that I collected.
Thank you so much. This is extremely helpful. So this will allow us to go through and categorically look at each of these, compare what each registry or registry category, or you know, group of registries rather, committed to, and then ask them why they did that. and then find out for the relevant party whether or not this was how this worked out for them for these different industries. So yeah, that's the only thing I'm looking for. Do we know the applicants? But then do we know, I guess most of these, which says something about near GTLDs, most of these are pretty obvious as far as who the intended audience of registrants would be. Perhaps actually all of them are, except for the businesses, that could be very broad as far as who that would be and who we'd want to talk to. Yeah, do you have any thoughts about that for example, .llc and TLD such as that, .ltd, as far as who we might want to talk to from the registrant community side? I guess that question can go out to anyone to chime in. All right, well, from here what we need to do is actually reach out to the registries themselves to ask them about the PICs. And so we could either do this through, we should compare this to any existing interviews that are going to be undertaken perhaps by the competition team and see if this can be part of the same interviews and see what overlap we have with some of these new GTLDs. Jonathan, by any chance, do you have insight into that? Because I know how we've talked about in the past that we don't want to be interviewing the same group over and over again with different questions.
Sure. So we're doing a survey of the applicants, and Aliza and I have a plan to coordinate with the PDP on subsequent procedures to see if there's questions they want to add or something in order to sort of prevent that duplication from happening. So there is a little applicant questionnaire subteam. I don't remember who all is on it. Maybe Aliza remembers who's on it that are developing a questionnaire for those who applied for strings.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Aliza. I can't recall exactly who's on it, but we do have a pretty well-developed questionnaire so far, and I'm going to look at it right now to see if there's anything on there about PICs, but that's certainly a topic we should probably cover in there.
Right.
Okay, so either way, we should all plan on creating our questions. They'll be really basic about the PICs today, so that way we can ensure those are added to that survey if it makes sense to go through that survey, unless you think that will reach other parties than the ones on the spreadsheet. And then we can reach out individually to them.
This is Aliza again. I would say it's worthwhile to at least add it because there will be two branches,
okay.
One for those who withdrew and one for those who either are still going through the contracting process or are delegated. So if maybe I'm looking at it right now. We have 15 high-level questions. Maybe if we want to add a couple that are related to PICs, like why they committed to them or, what drove them to include PICs in their application and so on and so forth, that might be a good way to capture this. But that being said, it's all entirely dependent on which applicants respond to the survey.
Right.
And one other thing I wanted to point out, I put another link in the page. So the competition team is interested in PICs and other registry policies as a form of non-price competition. One of my colleagues put together a chart, which is linked on the page I put in the chat, that compares different registration, use, and privacy policies across the top 30 registries or top 30 GTLDs. So you can kind of get a sense for what how they're differentiating themselves in terms of those types of policies as well.
Great, thank you. Yep, I'm pulling that up now. Oh, that's perfect. Okay. So then either way we can begin writing the discussion paper on PICS, which will then utilize that existing analysis, and then we'll be able to plug in whatever responses we get from conducting a survey. And so that is something that we can begin writing this week and working on. So then I'll circulate some questions about PICS later today, and then we can plug those into that existing survey, Aliza, and then I guess figure out the next week or so whether or not we should also interview, whether or not we'll want to solicit a survey to other registrars that won't be, other registries that won't be included in that survey pool. So thank you for that. Does anybody else have any other thoughts on PICS? Carlton or Jamie? Okay. Then moving on. So for the one of the big things that our sub team is doing that will inform a lot of other things is the DNS abuse study that you've heard me reference many, many times. And so Brian and I have now finished a draft statement of work. And so that's something that I can circulate for feedback to see what people think about it. And as Jonathan's mentioned many times, we'll have to act fast, of course, because of where we are in the budget process and even in our own timeline in terms of needing to get data back for our actual report. But basically, the what the statement of work outlines is that we want a vendor to go ahead and utilize historical WHOIS data, historical zone file data, DNS abuse data, and to the extent possible, historical pricing data, which from what we've learned, there might be pricing data, retail pricing data available going back to spring of 2014, or spring of 2015, I apologize. And so with all that data combined, then what the vendor would do is look for the whether or not DNS abuse is more or less prevalent in the new GTLDs, and then look for correlations with registries, registrars, resellers, and even privacy and proxy services, as well as correlation with price. And so from there, we would be able to apply our existing knowledge of PICS, of safeguards, and of, requirements within safeguards such as the 2013 RAA and whatnot, and DNSSEC, et cetera, and be able to see what we can deduce in terms of whether or not new GTLDs employing certain safeguards are less likely to have DNS abuse than others, whether it's the same. And this will really help inform some of our recommendations going forward. So I'll circulate that today. So that everyone can see the methodology, weigh in on the methodology, and then from there we'll hopefully get that out pretty soon, unless we, have reason not to, such as we find that there's existing research that would help us or whatnot. But from as it stands now, it looks like this is probably this study that we're going to do, and will help inform a lot of things. So I'll circulate that actually with the broader team rather than just our sub team for feedback. And if anyone can look at that, please look at it as soon as possible and weigh in as soon as possible so we can make any modifications as needed. Okay, does anyone else have any other thoughts about anything we've discussed? All right, so for a recap, we're now definitely in the writing stage for this review team, and so that's why today I'll be circulating a list of discussion paper topics that fit into Jonathan's template, and then with each of these topics, I'll assign them to individuals, so that way individuals will be held accountable, and then if an individual is unable to work on the topic, then that way they can at least let us all know so we're not surprised that a group of people didn't get something done, and then that topic can be reassigned. But we need to move forward on actually writing these things. And so with individuals being assigned to these discussion papers, people can definitely seek out other sub-team members to contribute to them, but at least we have one owner that will be responsible for creating the outline and filling in the substance based on all the work we've done so far as a group with consolidating a literature review list, analyzing these resources, and now we'll be synthesizing them, and then we'll be plugging in data we'll get eventually from our studies. So this will be really helpful going forward. So that'll be the big thing. In addition to that, I'll circulate a list of, and this will be brief, of questions related to PICs that we'll want to append to the existing survey that will go out, and that could be used for any individual phone calls or surveys we solicit to the registries that were identified in the spreadsheet that was circulated. And then beyond that, I'll just once again give reminders, because now we're past deadline on things that needed to be done with regard to analyzing some of these topics, so that we could all have a comprehensive understanding through these spreadsheets of what the readings have said so far, what the safeguards look like for the different categories, whether or not they've been triggered and whatnot. And I like Jonathan's suggestion. Jonathan has suggested we will come up with some sort of Game of Thrones punishment for those who don't do their work. And for fans of the show, you know that's not going to be a really nice punishment. So that should be some motivation. I'll leave that to Jonathan, though, because I don't want to get in any sort of legal mess. I saw Carlton, you were typing something briefly until you got scared by Jonathan's Game of Thrones comment. So, Carlton, did you have something to say? All right, well, I'll wait in suspense as Carlton types. No pressure, Carlton. All right. Just a joke. Okay. I was hoping attendance, of course, for this meeting would be much better than it was, but hopefully people will listen to the recording and participate accordingly. I'll send out those emails later today, and let's definitely get started writing this week on these discussion papers. Feel free to reach out to me if you have any difficulties whatsoever getting started on a discussion paper or finding any resources. ICANN staff, as always, will be here to support us and be extremely helpful with reminding us of existing resources, resources we looked at months ago but maybe have since forgotten, and any new resources. So make sure you're utilizing ICANN staff members as well. And, I guess, does anybody have any other – are there any other acts of business I'm forgetting about? Aliza, is there anything else that we should discuss? Or Jonathan, did you want to chime in with anything else?
Nothing for me, Drew. Thanks. I think just looking at those metrics, I think, would be very helpful as people start looking at their papers and topics.
Okay, great. And then, Brian, did you have anything to add to the DNS abuse paper as far as discussing that? Okay, and then Jamie and Carlton, anything? Okay, then we'll...
Thanks, Drew.
Thanks for leading the call. Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. My pleasure. All right, from here, expect some emails from me, and then expect to start getting the work writing. All right, thanks, everyone.
Thank you.